everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 283. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is This Show Is So Gay. And of course, go to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. What a fun show we have for you this week. We must get started with our first guest. Matt Crabtree is an actor who you have seen on, you know, every TV show ever broadcast on your television screen. He's been on Masters of Sex, Greek, Bones, NCIS, Hawthorne, Grey's Anatomy, Will and Grace, The OC, Nip Tuck, and so, so many more. He has written and performed on web series, including executive producing, creating, and starring on Failing Upwards, which I loved. He's done just a ton of theater, and some of those theater productions have pretty darn gay names, like The Homosexuals and Mommy Queerest. He will be making his triumphant return as David/Crumpet the Elf in the one-man virtuoso performance of The Santaland Diaries at the Working Stage Theater in Los Angeles, California from December 4th to December 21st of 2014. He is a great friend of our show, Matt Crabtree. Welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. That exhausted me. There's a lot going on for episode 283.
Right? I know. We usually try to keep things pretty mellow for episodes in the 280s, but how could we with you on the show?
I know. I'm so glad. I'm so happy to be back on the radio with you guys.
This is your fourth appearance on This Show Is So Gay over the past 7 years. How does that make you feel?
I'm a little shaken up.
I'm going to need you to work through it.
I love you. I love your show so much. So it's really. I'm really glad you keep coming back. Anyway,
I'm so glad that. I don't know what you mean. I'm so glad that you keep doing things because then we have things to talk about.
I know. And you, one thing you did forget, Modern Family.
That's where I was going to start. You already tipped my hand. When last you were on the show, which, by the way, already a year ago, which is crazy to me, when you were last on the show, you had filmed Modern Family. It had not yet aired. What was the experience like of you being a wedding planner? I watched that episode, you being on Modern Family. What was the experience like after it aired?
After it or while I was shooting it?
Well, last year we talked about your experience on the set, but now that was before. We were like, oh my gosh, it's going to air, and you weren't exactly sure when, and I think you knew, but you wouldn't tell me, and then it aired. What was that experience like, seeing yourself there?
You know, it was pretty spectacular. I mean, people called from all over. People got really excited that I was on the show, and they actually saw me on the show, and that I actually spoke. A lot of people went, because I do tours here in Hollywood, which you were supposed to take one after the AIDS ride.
I don't want to talk about it. Keep going.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. but people on my tour always say, you were on Modern Family. Did you speak? They all think that a lot of actors, we just don't speak because we're not famous. But yes, I did have a lot of fun on that show, and the response to it, I mean, it's what everyone talks about, really.
Love it.
And it was, you know, it was a wonderful part as the banquet manager for Mitch and Cam, and they were great, and it's beautiful.
I mean, it's not exactly this niche show that nobody sees. Quite a few ratings there for The Modern Family.
Yes, and all over the world.
Yeah.
Our friends in Australia and the UK, everyone seems to watch Modern Family.
Amazing. Amazing.
And it's in syndication, which is great.
Yeah, well, let's talk about syndication for a second, because one of the fun things about your website, and everybody should stroll on over to mattcrabtree.com, and we'll provide a link there, is that you do alert people when reruns are coming up with you appearing in them. Do you get notice? Do you have some sort of Google alert set up? How does that work?
Well, I've always had a Google alert for my name, just because I have to. I'm that vain. But there's actually a website called locatetv.com, and that's what I use. I actually go in there and I list all the shows that I've done, the episodes that I've done, and I'll check back, or it'll send me an update when things are coming on, and it'll list everything that's airing anywhere. So that's where I get all my updates from.
And with your range of appearances, it feels like there's something new every week.
There is something every week, even things like Diagnosis Murder, my very first job, started re-airing again.
Can I just say, you're kind of ruining my show or complimenting it right now because you keep tipping my hand right before I get to the next topic. I wanted to talk about Diagnosis Murder, of all things. It's right there. It's right under reruns. There it says Diagnosis Murder. Let me just let you know, Matt, I'll get to Santa Land. You don't need to prompt me. So, Diagnosis Murder, tell everyone about kind of your claim to fame with Diagnosis Murder. It's pretty exciting.
Well, I did the very last episode of Diagnosis Murder. That was my first job in town.
Wow.
And Dick Van Dyke was on set. I worked with Charlie Slattery and Vicki Rolle. And it was amazing. That was actually my very first time. Speaking of, this show is so gay. This is the very first time I was on a set. And you know, it's my first job, so I want to do everything I can to make it perfect. I want to make sure that I do everything that I need to do, that I don't want to get fired. It's my first job. And it was a fun role. And the director came up to me at one point and said, can you make it gayer?
Ooh.
Can you be more gay? And me, of course, I'm like, I'll turn it on for you. Anything you want, Mr. Director. But one of the series regulars got irate.
Ooh.
And went and started yelling at the director, how dare you do that? How dare you do this? And that was the first time that someone actually, that I saw someone come to someone's, not aid, as it were, but come to someone's defense of this business and stereotyping and having that moment on set. Because here in Hollywood, there is still a lot of prejudice, I guess you could say, and a lot of moments like that, which they think is acceptable.
Yeah.
And it's not. And at me being young and doing my first job, I would do anything. And it was nice to see a seasoned person come up and say, you know, what you just did was wrong.
Yeah.
But the episode itself was fantastic. I had a good time. And it was my, you know, foray into the television industry.
How did Dick Van Dyke go out on Diagnosis Murder? Did he walk happily into the sunset? How did that one end?
Well, I did the beginning of the shoot week, so I wasn't there for the last day of filming, so I'm not sure exactly how Dick Van Dyke walked out.
Well, no, I mean, what happened with his character? How did that series
end? On the
show? Yeah.
Honestly?
You have no idea.
I don't remember.
I love that you think that I was asking you, how did Dick Van Dyke actually leave the set? But it would be amazing if you knew that.
He did a pratfall down the stairs.
Love it. Love it.
More than likely.
That's entirely possible. Now, you've done voiceover work, have you not?
I have done some, yes. Yes, I have.
Should I just, like, yell out different emotions or different voices? What do you do particularly well with voiceover work?
Well, I mean, the last voiceover gig I did was voice the role of Jason in the gay comic strip Jason, written by Jeff Krell, which just celebrated its 30th anniversary.
Wow.
And we had a little Christmas short that we did, which is online now. And so, that's kind of what I did. I don't really do that many voices per se, but through Sandland Diaries, I do cycle through about maybe 50 characters in 65 minutes.
Now, did I not mention that we were getting there? I mean, you had to prompt me.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's the voices you were talking about. That's where my voices go.
Well, let's talk about the Sandland Diaries. There's so many different fun aspects to this. First, did you see David Sedaris' performance of it? Is that something that you have seen?
No, I've never seen him read it before. I've heard him read it before, and I have seen him live at many places here in UCLA and down in San Diego. And I've seen him read many, many things and heard him read many, many things, but I've never seen him do Holidays on Ice or Sandland Diaries live.
Now, how do you put your own stamp on it? You know, a lot of folks have seen it with David Sedaris, and he has certainly put his imprint on it. But when they go and see Matt Crabtree on it, what are they in for?
Well, they're in for someone with the same kind of wit as Sedaris, because we both grew up in North Carolina. His family moved to Raleigh and was raised in Raleigh, North Carolina. So we have that same kind of sarcastic wit, and just the way that we deliver with a slight smile on our slight little grin, little Cheshire grin, as it were, on our face. But yes, the show itself is not tongue-in-cheek, but it's got that sarcasm. It's got love of all things holiday.
For folks who don't know it, we should back up a step. Tell everyone, give us the premise of the Sandland Diaries.
Sandland Diaries is a story that David wrote about him being a 34-year-old elf at Macy's Fantaland in New York when he was unemployed. He had first moved to New York, according to the story, he moved to New York City to become a writer on One Life to Live, one of his favorite shows, and met some challenges along the way. And the only job he was really qualified to do was to be an elf at Macy's Fantaland.
This is a one-man show, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So where's the part where you get to, you know, tag out, where you say, you know what, I need a break during, in the middle of my performance?
Around 65 minutes into, from the beginning to the end, that's when I can break out. Up until then, you do not leave.
You have done this repeatedly, right? You've done, how many performances would you say you've done before of this?
Well, it's a holiday show, so you don't really get a chance to do that many. This year, I'm doing 12. Last year, I did 8 in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. And the year before that, I did 4 in Hollywood. And the year before that, I did 4 here in Hollywood.
What keeps it fresh for you?
This year, it's keeping it even more fresh. Well, because I have a new director. We have a new staging. We have a new way of telling the story, which I'm really looking forward to. But throughout the year, it's just a wonderful, fun monologue. And when you see the audience reacting and going on the journey with you, That's what keeps it fresh.
So much
every
fun.
Audience is different, and we play with the audience a lot, and the audience becomes part of the story, and it keeps them engaged even more.
Now, for our listening audience who have not yet seen it, how gay is Fantaland Diaries?
Well, did that just answer the question? It's as gay as you want it to be.
So if I want it to be pretty darn gay, that it's there for me. I love it. I love it. Talk to us about now. I feel like every week we talk about a different Kickstarter campaign, and we love when they are successful. And I should also say, on next week's show, we're going to be revisiting last week's show when we talked about an extraordinarily ambitious Kickstarter campaign that was trying to raise $100,000, and they were successful. So we're going to have one of those folks, if you are listening, to talk about that success. Your project was also associated with a Kickstarter campaign.
That is correct.
And successful or not?
It was very successful. Since it's a show that, because I ended up producing it myself this year, there was no theater company here in Los Angeles that was going to do the show. And I had gone out to the theater company that had did it in previous years and asked them, got kind of their blessing to do it myself. And they said, sure, have fun. And so as producer and, you know, producing, you got to produce your own work, just like with Failing Upwards. You got to produce your own work. And the Kickstarter campaign, I just set it for the minimum that I would need to get through the show. And we were successful. We did I think we were 140% funded.
Wow.
So we got about 1,500 more than I had thought. And it was just wonderful to see all these people, friends, and even people who didn't know me who love the Fantaland Diaries and I wanted to hear it told this year. These people coming on board and just donating $5, $10, $15, $25. I even had probably around 20 people donate $1, and they were people I had no idea. They were people who were on Kickstarter all the time, and they just find different projects and give $1 or $2 here, $1 or $2 there, and just so they can be a part of it.
What does that mean to you to have 140% funded by a good chunk of folks that you just don't even know?
Yeah, it's a beautiful feeling, because the people that do know me contributed the most, of course, and the fact that they love me and they love my work enough to want to see this done again, it just shows how powerful, humanity is.
Yeah.
Because all these people just wanted to donate their money and just want to see it, and I just find that very humbling and very, I feel very blessed.
Yeah.
I feel very honored and feel very happy to be a part of this world.
That's so great. It's so great. You know, talk to me for a minute about the theater. It's one of those topics that we don't get to talk about enough. We often have some Broadway folks on the show, and often we turn to kind of the demise of Broadway, which I hope isn't a demise, but just how Broadway is pricing folks out. But then there's theater all over this country that you can see affordably that presents a whole different option, right?
Yes, I was in New York a couple weeks ago. And ticket prices are extraordinary.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. It's hard to imagine someone paying $150 to see Love Letters.
Right. Right.
Two people just reading, scripts on stage, except to see the celebrities themselves. I saw it. I didn't pay $150 for it, but and it was a moving experience to see the Brian Dennehy and Mia Farrow do their thing. But here in Los Angeles, there's theater everywhere, and there's a lot of great theater. There's a lot of great theater, and there's a, you know, just like in New York and, you know, Chicago and everywhere else, there is some bad theater. It happens.
Yeah.
And I've been part of some of that along the way. But there's just that beautiful feeling. All these stage actors here in Los Angeles who do it for the love of theater and the love to take people out of their world and, you know, put them in theirs for, you know, 2 hours so they don't have to worry about, you know, their lives.
Right.
And I think that's one of the magical things about theater and the community that we have here in Los Angeles. There's, you know, tremendous actors and not all celebrities. They're all working actors. They, you know, do guest spots on television, day players on films. And then when they finish, they go and, you know, they do theater at night.
I love it. I love that one of the levels on your Kickstarter. I always love Kickstarter because when people creatively name the levels, it makes me very happy how you can get mm-hmm. certain free perks for your donation. And one of the levels was called Usher Elf. And I just kind mm-hmm. of assumed, I don't know why I would associate such a practice with you, but I could totally see you, Matt Crabtree, saying, and if you donate at this level, you have to usher at least one performance.
Oh, I should have had him do that. That would have been great.
I could see you doing that.
Because all of the elves that were based on my purse were based on the elf in Santaland Diaries.
There you go. I've never seen it. You know, I would love to see you doing this.
Well, you need to come out here and see it December 4th through 21st.
December 4th through 21st. All right. We're going to get on that. We'll hype that again towards the end of the interview. By the way, before we
find you a date, too, when you're here, because you, I know you were very upset when I was doing a play with one of your favorite
Oh,
actors.
We'll get to that in a second because he's kind of the basis of both games that we're playing, but we'll get to that in a second. We should just talk briefly about your travels. You certainly have done some globetrotting, including going to Mykonos, which some would argue is like gay Mecca.
It probably is. It probably is. When I was there, I was fortunate enough to travel back in August with my best friend. So we had friends invite us to a villa in Mykonos. And what do you say to that? I had to say yes.
Of course.
And we went, and we were so, you know, we were in a group of six people, and we were in a private villa, you know, gated, and we didn't really, the only time we really hung out with people or saw other people is when we went to the beach during the day and went to dinner at night. We didn't really party. We were exhausted the whole time. But the majority of the people in Mykonos were straight.
Look at that. Okay.
Big party island.
Did you somehow
island.
Make Mykonos less gay? How is that possible?
I don't think I'm doing it.
Okay. I would hope not. I would hope not. All right. Well, I have two games for us to play. No one has ever been allowed to play two games on the same episode, but you're Matt Crabtree, so we're going to have some fun. Are you ready?
Oh, I think so.
Okay, the first game you can't win anything, but the second game you can actually win things for you.
Oh,
so it's, there's some investment here. So the first thing we need to do is tell our listening audience about the subject of the game. How would you describe to folks the actor, the man, the legend, Kevin Held?
The actor, the man, the legend, Kevin Held. I would describe Kevin Held as a beautiful person, not just outside, but inside.
There you go. So for our listening audience who somehow don't know Kevin Held, and you can find him on Facebook and you should follow him. He's a very, very talented actor. He is one of the oldest crushes that I have had on this planet, dating way, way back to the late 90s and my NYU days. And thus, when I saw that he was starring in a play with Matt Crabtree and there was shirtlessness, it didn't sit well with me. And that lends our basis for the two games that we are playing. The first game that we will play, Matt Crabtree, is called Ken or Crabtree. I will ask you a series of questions. You need to answer Ken or Crabtree. Are you ready? And if you get 2 out of 4 crab trees, you win.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just here to prove a point, and then in the second game, you'll win stuff. Because this is our rivalry right here on the air. Question number one. Who met Kevin Held first, Ken or Crabtree?
Ken.
Okay. So you're down one. Question number two. Who knows Kevin Held's soul better, Ken or Crabtree?
Ken!
Question number three. You're not doing too well. You got to get the last two right in order to win this section. The second game, you'll win stuff. The third question. Who was last on stage with Kevin Held? Ken or Crabtree?
Crabtree.
That is incorrect. Last night I had a dream, so I'm counting it for Ken. And question number four. Who has last seen Kevin Held shirtless? Ken or Crabtree?
I wish it was me, but it's probably Ken.
Yes, I do have a photo of him in Tiger Beat on my wall in my bedroom. So, yes, of course it was Ken.
Can we have another question? Who has seen Kevin Held shirtless most recently up close in person?
Emotionally, I do agree that the answer is Ken.
Oh, Ken. Oh, it's your radio show. You can do whatever you want.
The second game
is
designed.
You want to lie to your people. You want to lie to your people and, like, do, you know, just put yourself above everyone. Go ahead. It's fine. But do you have two golden fists sitting on your mantle?
I do not.
That's all I have to ask.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, then I have two golden fists from the Toskers this past year.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. How have we not talked about that? That was a huge deal. Tell everyone about what those even are.
The Toskers, there's a group in Los Angeles called Brits in L.A., British people in L.A. It's the largest expat organization here. And every year they do parodies of all the Oscar-nominated films. So we have 10 team leaders. I was a team leader this past year and did it last year also for Skyfall and I Can't Get Up. That was our parody of Skyfall. And this year we selected random teams. We had 2 weeks to write a 5-minute parody of a particular Oscar-nominated film. We had 3 days of shooting and 9 days of post-production. And then it went to a competition. We had a huge red carpet gala sponsored by Jaguar at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. And my film, Terminate Her, the parody of her, ended up winning Best Parody, which I received a golden fist for, as well as Best Whacker.
That's you!
Which is myself as Joaquin Phoenix as Ted.
That is so exciting. I love it. Do they actually look like golden fists?
They are. They're actually a mold of someone's fist. I will send you a picture of them.
You must.
A mold of someone's fist. And they're gold, and they're on top of a wooden little platform.
It's doing everything I can do right now to not express that that is the gayest-looking award that you ever could have won.
Probably. It depends on which part of the gay world you live in.
Indeed. Not mine. Not mine. And not
and
yours.
Not mine either.
Okay.
Not mine either.
Okay. The first game... The game we just finished, Ken or Crabtree, was just to prove a point. The second game, Matt Crabtree, this one I'm actually rooting for you. So I want you to win this one, okay? What I have done off the air, and our listeners know this game pretty well, this is our newlywed game, where I have asked someone connected to you to answer 6 questions. If you match 3 of the 6 questions, I will send you This Show Is So Gay magnets for your refrigerator, Matt Crabtree, okay?
Okay.
So, quite naturally, before the airing of this show, I got in touch with Kevin Held, and I asked him 6 questions. Are you ready for your 6 questions? You're going for 3 of 6, correct?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay.
I'm channeling Kevin. I'm
so excited. Okay, question number one. I asked Kevin, what candy bar would you say Matt Crabtree is most like?
I'm going to say something else.
Okay.
I want to say Snickers, but I'm going with Almond Joy.
I'm sorry, that is not the correct answer. Kevin replied, Matt is like a Reese's peanut butter cup because they're my favorite.
Oh.
I know. This is going to be so validating for you. It's like the first game never even happened.
I just got a little – hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm ready. Number two.
Are you sure?
I think so. Hopefully I'm –
Question.
Maybe I should sit down. Hold on. Okay, here we go. I'm going to sit down now. Okay.
Question number two. I asked Kevin Held, what cartoon character would you say Matt Crabtree is most like?
I don't know what Kevin would say, but because I am a romantic, I would say Pepe Le Pew.
No, I'm sorry. That was not the correct answer. Oh. Kevin said Matt is like Garfield because he will silently plot your demise without you ever knowing, and he loves lasagna.
I love that man.
We're going to keep going. I'm still pulling for you. I think you can pull this one out.
Thank you.
I'm going to start helping.
I don't really have high hopes right now, but We can keep going.
We can keep going. If you get even...
I want to hear all the wonderful things someone said about me today.
If you get even one question right, you will win. I've never changed the rules midway, but I'm not feeling great about your chances right now. No, it's going to be great. Okay, question number three. What color eyes does Kevin have?
He has these blue-green eyes.
I'm going to give that one to you. He has hazel eyes.
Yeah,
he has hazel
they're
eyes.
Beautiful.
All right.
They're like, and they seem like they change color sometimes, too. The more you look into them, and you stare deep into them on stage under the lights.
All right.
And
all right.
Then we just look.
Okay, that's okay.
More.
We're going to move on.
Oh,
we're going to move on to the next question. I'm still, let's keep in mind game one where all the answers were Ken. Question number four. I still think you could get three. That's what I'm pulling for. Question number four. If you, Kevin, could take Matt Crabtree to any country in the world, where would you take him?
He would take me to, I'm going to say Austria.
Oh, why?
I don't know, because at one point I'd mentioned how much I'd like Vienna.
Oh, well, he did not note that. He provided the answer of, I would take Matt to England because I'm sure there are enough crab trees there that he wouldn't have to get a hotel, and then we could drink more, and he's a fun drunk.
Yeah, what? I don't think he said that.
He really did. I'm reading this word for word.
Did say that.
Okay, question number five. Here we go. You're going to go two for two on these last two, okay? Question number five. What did Kevin say that he likes most about Matt Crabtree? And he provided two answers, so I'm feeling really good about your chances. What did he say he likes most about Matt Crabtree? You have one right, two to go.
Something he said to me when we were working together about how he really enjoyed being on stage with me because I was very present with him.
I'm going to give you that, even though it's not really right, but I feel like it fits with one of them. He gave two answers. One of them was, I most like Matt's dedication. So I'm going to give you that for dedication, although he added the addendum on that one. I envy his tireless self-promotion. And then he said, just kidding, I like his hugs the most. So I feel like you were in there. You were in there. So dedication, presence on stage.
Did he mention me climbing up his collarbone? Did he mention that at all?
I don't know that you understand what this show is rated. It's a family show, so I can't really talk about
that right now. Oh,
yeah.
Of course not.
Family show.
Of course not.
Family
show.
That's
not what I'm talking about.
Question number six. This is for all the marbles. You get this one right, you win the magnets. Also, we'll just send you some. What is Kevin's middle name?
Oh, that's a good one.
Isn't that a good one?
Kevin?
I can give you hints.
I want to say it's Michael, but I don't think that's
it's right. Not. That's mine. I know you're always thinking about me, so it's not Michael.
Well,
that's
I am.
Mine. Yeah.
Well, when I think of you two together, that's when that happens.
It is a Disney prince.
Oh.
It is a Disney prince.
That's Philip.
The correct answer is indeed Philip. You went three. You got three correct answers.
Oh. That was exhausting. That was very stressful on my end.
But you won. How does it feel to win?
Yay!
Yeah, there you go.
I should say hashtag gay yay.
Our thanks to Kevin Held, who also participated in this week's version of the Newlywed Game. We will send him a magnet as well.
Oh, yay! I won something.
Put that next to those golden fists.
I will. I may see if it magnet sticks to it. I don't know.
That would be amazing.
For that magnet thing, yeah.
That would be amazing. All right. So give everybody the rundown. What do they need to know about the Santa Lynn Diaries?
Santa Lynn Diaries in Los Angeles, the Working Stage Theater, December 4th through 21st. We have 12 shows only, Thursday through Sunday. You can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com at santaland2014.brownpapertickets.com. Or you can find our event on Facebook. Or go to the Matt Crabtree fan page, and you'll find all the information there also. And I'd love for you guys to just click on me and like me. Just
love
like
it.
Me. I'm trying
love
to get
it.
1,000 likes. I'm really close.
We'll get you there.
I don't have 1,000 yet.
We will get you there. So to our 5,000 people on the Facebook, go like Matt Crabtree.
Woo-hoo!
We want to get him there. We want to get. Are you still giving tours?
Occasionally.
Okay.
I do a few tours a week with several different companies here in town. Redline behind the scenes walking tour, and Urban Adventures. And then we just began working with Jim and Zied on an out and about tour here in Los Angeles. So there's a downtown Hollywood tour, a Tinseltown Hollywood tour, and a bus tour. I think it's a fun day brunch tour they just started doing.
Awesome.
So there's three different tour companies I'm working with here in town because I love Hollywood. I love Hollywood history.
Love it. Love it. So everybody go check out Matt Crabtree. He's giving a tour near you. But of course, you want to go like the Matt Crabtree fan page. It's all up and running there on the Facebook. And go see the Santaland Diaries at the Working Stage Theater in Los Angeles, California from December 4th to December 21st, 2014. Matt, always a pleasure having you on the show.
It's so great to be on the show. And I love you. Thank you so much.
Alright, folks, and we are back. I am here in the attic of Fir Avenue. See, I don't say the number anymore.
Thank you.
And I'm here with
Becca.
Hi, Becca.
Hi,
so
Ken.
We are just like totally smashed right now.
Hammered. Absolutely hammered.
Yeah. So Becca's like, oh, we gotta do shots during the show. I'm like, Becca, I have a listening audience. She's like, no. So she's upside down doing a beer ball and we
Wait,
that's
did you just
not,
say beer ball?
I don't know what they are. What are they called?
It's definitely not beer balls.
I made it gayer.
Aw, you little liberal arts college fella. At Ohio State, we called them beer bongs.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
I don't know things.
Yeah.
There are many things I don't know. I had never tasted a beer until I was 20.
Never too late.
Yes.
Never too
late.
Yeah,
which was only a few years ago. We have so much to talk about. By the way, first, before we start, we got to give a shout out to our good buddy, James Bigley. Love that name. James wrote a lovely piece in Cleveland Magazine about
sure
this show is so
it
gay.
It was phenomenal.
That was so great.
It was awesome. Yeah.
My dad liked it. My mom liked it. They both wrote and said those were nice words about you. We just wish you weren't wearing the hat. Okay. That's okay.
What's wrong with the hat?
My parents don't like the hat.
Can I vouch for the hat? I like the hat.
My parents occasionally like the hat when I tell them that my grandfather gave it to me, but then they remember that I got it at Banana Republic, and so it doesn't really hold water. But I like that story. My narrative's
a little
better.
Your mom and I can't have everything in common.
That's true. That's true. All right, so there was an election this week.
I heard something about
yes.
that.
It didn't go so well for those who identify as the Democrats.
Things swung the other way.
Things went the other way. Mm-hmm. And so there's a ton of stories out there, and certainly a lot of concern about things getting more anti-gay now with a Republican-controlled House and a Republican-controlled Senate mm-hmm. and those two working together and a president who's kind of on his way out, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's
yeah,
only,
sure.
he's not going to be running for re-election. So there's some concern about that. But I want to highlight one guy in particular. Okay. We're going to play this game called Becca, Would You Vote for Him?
Okay, let's do this.
So his name is Glenn Grothman.
I already vote yes because I like the name.
Okay, he's a Republican state senator. But yeah, this isn't going to go so well for you. Know that we haven't even started and you're already losing the game.
I like alliteration.
Yes. Glenn Grothman, that's his picture. People can look up his picture.
His hat's all America.
Yeah, he's got a Stars and Stripes Forever kind of hat there. So he was just elected to Wisconsin's 6th district. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I want to give you some of the quotes that he said. And after each quote, we will test you, Becca. Would you vote for him?
Okay.
He has won, by the way. He's already in office. So let's also keep in mind the moral of the story. This guy, totally a United States congressman now. Okay. In January, we'll start not gay and then we'll get gay. In January, Grothman proposed rolling back a Wisconsin law requiring employers to give workers at least one day off per week.
I vote for him.
He said the law was a little goofy and that his proposal was about freedom. This was his quote. Right now in Wisconsin, you're not supposed to work 7 days in a row, which is a little ridiculous because all sorts of people want to work 7 days a week.
People love to be slave-drived. They love that.
All right. So on issue one, would you vote for him?
I would not vote for
okay,
that.
All right. Yeah. You had me. Okay. So now in 2010, Grothman, who believes that homosexuality is a choice, proposed banning Wisconsin public school teachers from mentioning homosexuality in sex education classes because some teachers had an, quote, agenda to turn kids gay. Would you vote for him? Becca, she can't even speak. Cheers. Oh, there's more. In January of 2013, Becca, I assume it was no on that last one?
It was definitely, definitely a no on that one.
What do you know? You've been working 7 days a week, he's looking to help you. In January of 2013, Glenn Grothman, by the way, who is now a United States congressman, he appeared on Voice of Christian Youth America, which is an evangelical talk show, and he called Planned Parenthood, quote, the most overtly racist organization.
I love those people.
He said that Planned Parenthood has a pattern of, quote, not liking people who are not white, and specifically targets Asian Americans for sex-selective abortions.
Where is he getting his facts?
Here's a note here from Mother Jones, which we love. Planned Parenthood opposes sex-selective abortions. By the way, this entire episode, this section is going to be called the Glenn Grothman section because he's done so much more. And also, right?
Yeah.
Well, I want to pause here and remind everyone that he is now a United States congressman.
This is terrifying.
This is where this is going to get even more fun.
We should have saved this one for Halloween week.
I know.
It's like a ghost.
You didn't wear a costume at any point, did you?
No, but would you like me to describe yours?
No. Okay, moving on. After voting in 2011 to repeal Wisconsin's equal pay protection law, Grothman argued that the male-female pay gap wasn't about discrimination in the workplace. This was his quote. Take a hypothetical husband and wife who are both lawyers, but the husband is working 50 or 60 hours a week, going all out, making 200 grand a year. I wish you guys could see Becca right now. The woman takes time off, raises kids, is not go, go, go. Now they're 50 years old. The husband is making 200 grand a year. The woman is making 40 grand a year. It wasn't discrimination. There was a different sense of urgency in each person. You could argue that money is more important for men. I think a guy in their first job, maybe because they expect to be a breadwinner someday, may be a little more money conscious.
He didn't say that. No.
By the way, the next one is even better.
Get out of here. Who makes that kind of blanket statement?
By the way, he added, quote, in the long run, a lot of women like to stay at home and have their husbands be the primary breadwinner.
Oh, for the love of God.
No. It gets better.
Oh, my God.
By the way, this entire section is all about Glenn Grothman, United States Congressman, right now. Representing the 6th District of Wisconsin. In a 2004 op-ed calling for new restrictions on the federal food stamps program, Grothman outlined the extensive research that informed his position. Quote, I've interviewed over a dozen people who check out people who pay with food stamps, and all felt people on food stamps ate better or at least more costly than they did. Observations of people who work in food stores indicate that many people who use food stamps do not act as if they are genuinely poor. That is Glenn Grothman arguing that people on food stamps don't act poor enough.
Like, cue the circus music. Who is this clown?
Got elected.
Seriously.
Would you like a couple more? Because there's some fun ones.
This is the scary part. He beat someone. Who was his opposition?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for the love. This is
let's
terrifying.
Do it. We'll do another gay one. Grothman told an interviewer in 2010, quote, did people even know what homosexuality was in high school in 1975? I don't remember any discussion about that at the time. There were a few guys who would make fun of a few effeminate boys, but that's a different thing than homosexuality. Homosexuality was not on anyone's radar, and that's a good thing. He said he wants to turn back the clock to the 1950s.
Sure, when nobody was gay. Nobody at all. Wow.
You want one? I gotta do one more.
Please do.
There's more. I could keep going.
At this point, I'm emotionally numb, so just keep them coming.
A December 2012 press release issued by Grothman's State Senate office asked, quote, "Why must we still hear about Kwanzaa?" In it, Grothman claimed that Kwanzaa is a phony holiday promoted by, quote, white left-wingers who try to shove this down black people's throats in an effort to divide Americans.
What?
He urged mainstream Americans to be more outspoken on this issue. It's time it's slapped down once and for all. By the way, the thing that he wants to slap down is Kwanzaa.
Like, I just feel like this certainly has to be some kind of... This is an article from The Onion, isn't it?
No,
an article?
No, this is Mother Jones Magazine. Oh. It's about United States Congressman Glenn Grothman. I got one more because it's gay-related. This April, he appeared again on Voice of Christian Youth America, which we should check that out one week.
It'd be worth tapping into, I feel.
And he discussed Secretary of State John Kerry's efforts to lobby against the Ugandan president's bill to punish gay and lesbians. This is what Grothman said. Quote, "Now, usually I associate the United States with being a positive influence on Africa." Which, by the way, when?
In what way are we talking?
When we wanted the diamonds. "You associate," continuing with his quote, "you associate the United States with sending missionaries to Africa. Instead, what we have is the Secretary of State going to Africa and educating Ugandans, or saying he's going to send American scientists to Uganda to explain how normal homosexuality is. Think about that. What must God think of our country?" That would be Glenn Grothman hypothesizing that God is probably mad at John Kerry.
Glenn Grothman, representative of the people. Wow.
And he had one more quote about affirmative action. You can well imagine what it was.
I just can't. Stop it, wow. Well, you know what? This has been a very interesting election, for sure.
Right?
Like I said, it's terrifying to think that he actually beat somebody. There's
totally elected.
Frightening.
Totally elected. Until recently, he was living in his mother's basement. Now, turning, and by the way, that's totally true. Turning to you, you're seeing a shirtless guy and you're getting excited, right? So this is a story out of Australia.
That pretty man.
A new campaign is targeting gay men in Australia, urging them to become lifeguards for others.
Okay.
But it's more of like a theoretical thing.
What's the campaign about? Why?
The Lifeguard Project is an effort of the National LGBTI Health Alliance and claims it works to foster a community conversation among gay men to give them the confidence, knowledge, and skills to become lifeguards in their social networks to support themselves, partners, and friends. I love that. Research shows that gay men often see their friends struggling with anxiety and depression, but lack the confidence or skills to reach out to them to help.
Huh. I'm into it.
I love this.
I'm into it. And if that man is a lifeguard on a beach in Australia, I would happily flail about like a damsel in distress. Gay or not, he can wrap me in those biceps and take me to shore.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I love it.
No, that's wonderful. That really is.
So, yes, you guys can stroll on over to thewashingtonblade.com and see a picture of this guy who's blowing a whistle, which is kind of suggestive, except I haven't made my way up to his face yet, but I'm sure it's great.
You bad.
You know who would not like this article? Glenn Grothman, that's
Glenn
correct,
Grothman,
United States Senator for the Wisconsin 6th District.
Correct.
The CEO, Tim Cook of Apple, came out this week. Not sure if you saw that. So it was a really big deal, but people were very angry about it. Like, what does this have to do with anything?
Right.
Except that Apple is not a small company.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It goes back to the central question that we could talk about week in, week out of how important is it for people to come out in their workplace? But this is like a national public figure. This is a big deal.
Sure.
So.
There's this kind of dynamic where you want people to come out and be open and comfortable, almost as an example and a torch for maybe some other people who are not so comfortable.
Right.
But then on the flip side, it is kind of like, you know, is it necessary in the workplace? But you're right. With a company like Apple, the size of it, the magnitude that it has on our culture as a whole, I think it's awesome that he came out and you know, put it out there for the world to see. And those kind of examples are kind of shining lights for people who I'm sure are struggling.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Good
I feel
him.
That's very important.
Good for
very
him.
Very important.
Absolutely.
The Archbishop of Omaha has criticized Creighton University in Nebraska.
Stop. Back up. Omaha has an archbishop?
Apparently.
What does that mean? Like a church in Omaha or Omaha has a sweeping archbishop?
The Archbishop of Omaha. It's a real person. Archbishop George Lucas. Wait a second. Isn't that the Star Wars guy?
Where did you get this?
No, this is a real story. I swear to you, this is from our source. This is the Gay Politics Report. Did we just get punked? Right there
and
at the Gay Politics Report.
And then his friend Winnie the Pooh came in.
So the Archbishop of Omaha, Archbishop George Lucas, told C-3PO, no, it really says, has criticized Creighton University in Nebraska for extending health benefits to the same-sex spouses of university employees. Archbishop George Lucas characterized the shift as a tacit endorsement of marriage equality. He said in a statement, quote, I am dismayed that the recommendation of the University Benefits Committee is thought to supersede divine law regarding marriage.
Well, let's get real. There is no divine law that you can really apply. You know, if we're talking about, like, I'm assuming referring to biblical.
Yeah.
Biblical law. When it comes down to real law, it doesn't apply. That's not reality. That's not how the world works. There's a difference between belief system and law. So if he has the legal right to do that, awesome.
Is there an Archbishop of Cleveland?
Is there an Archbishop of cities in general?
I guess there is. We are the worst two people. The gay Jew and the baker are probably the worst two people to be theorizing on who's an archbishop and who's not. So there's that.
The former Catholic living in Cleveland. I'm like, what? There's an archbishop? What?
So no, we didn't get punked. That's a real story. That's a real story. Oh wait, there's another one. Oh, okay. I got a baker story.
Start Ernie.
I have a baker story for you, Becca. I really swear that picture, Bert's face just moved and it just freaked me out. Okay, I'm a little scared now.
He winked at you.
A Christian bakery firm, which can we pause right there? What does that mean?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
I truly have absolutely no idea.
Do you bless your cakes before you put them out?
I flush everything with holy water and send them out the door.
Do you think that maybe if you used holy water, your pies would come out differently?
Hold on a second. My last batch of pies came out swell.
Who made your last batch of pies?
My mom.
This is not to denigrate Becca's baking skills. She's an amazing baker, but pies are perhaps the area that you want to work on.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's my Achilles heel. I cannot do a pie well. My mom, on the other hand, is the pie master, so she lent me a hand.
I want to get her a shirt that says that.
Pie master?
Pie master.
Yeah.
So I would like to put out the theory now, if your little bakery thing that you do, your catering company, was a Christian one, I think your pies would come out different. But a Christian bakery firm, which refused to make a cake supporting gay marriage with a picture of the Sesame Street characters Bert and Ernie, has been warned it will be taken to court unless it apologizes and pays immediate compensation. Asher's Baking Company, based in Newton Abbey, Northern Ireland, was told by a government equalities agency that it was guilty of, quote, unlawful religious, political, and sexual orientation discrimination for its stance on the Sesame Street-themed dessert. But the family-run firm said it was ready for a David and Goliath battle over the cake, insisting it was, quote, what God would want us to do with the cake.
Are there no other bakers in this town? Give somebody else your business. And I'm not criticizing the people who wanted the cake. God bless them. But why not just go to a different baker?
Yeah.
Who doesn't dislike you?
When was the last time that God told you what he or she wanted you to do with one of your cakes?
You know, only if I break divine law does he intervene. Okay. Yeah.
I've heard you invoke God's name in the kitchen before, but that's different.
I guarantee that's a whole other context.
This dispute erupted after the bakery canceled its $36 order to bake the novelty cake featuring the characters arm in arm under the slogan Support Gay Marriage.
$36? They need to charge more for their services.
Is that not enough?
That is way too cheap.
Well, no, it's 36. It must be 36 euros.
Which is roughly
that's like 300 American dollars.
No, it's like 40 or 50 dollars.
Okay. Should they be charging more for their novelty cakes?
Yeah, bump that up, guys.
Okay.
Anyway.
But they said it went against their religious beliefs. Daniel MacArthur, general manager of the firm, said it would amount to endorsing the campaign for the introduction of same-sex marriage, and it would go against his conscience. There you go. Because you could get one of those, right? Like, you can get that in sugar, the picture, and put it right there.
You sure can. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. With, you know, Bert with his unibrow and... Yeah, the whole
thing. And Ernie with his no-brows.
With his rubber ducky.
I, again, think that Bert's face just moved, and I'm, like, totally, totally freaked out right now. It's really messing me up. Some exciting news on the gay marriage front. I feel like we have to give our gay marriage updates, but, again, I'm a little bit nervous as to what's going to happen now. So just today, a judge overturned Missouri's, because you're supposed to say Missouri.
What? Why? When's
I don't think you're supposed to say Missouri.
Really?
Yeah, it's Missouri.
Missouri?
Okay, someone might be punking me on that, too. But a judge overturned Missouri's ban on gay marriage. So that is paving the way for gay marriage in Missouri. And then just this week, Kansas, a judge overturned Kansas's ban on gay marriage.
Fantastic.
So, well, let's put it into perspective. There are now 34, 35 states,
yes,
including Missouri and Kansas.
Missouri
mm-hmm. and Kansas. And one of the 35, 36 states is not Ohio.
Not yet.
It almost, I'm not comfortable living here. I don't want to live in the minority. I've never done this. I lived in Vermont where you had to sign a pledge to be gay before you cross state lines.
And we just revoted in Kasich, so it's not going to happen in the next term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good. All right. So it's weird. I have to tell you, on a very personal note, it's very weird now to live in a state that is in the minority.
Sure.
I don't like it.
Sure.
I thought Ohio was supposed to be somewhat progressive.
And I feel like we are, but
in
it's
other
just
ways.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
So a story about Rose McGowan. Do you know Rose McGowan?
I believe she was in Charmed, yeah?
She was in Charmed. She used to date Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah.
So
Ohio native there.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Canton.
Why do you know that?
Well, I just
I guess
do.
You have to know
he's a total
people.
Weirdo, but he's very, very, very smart.
Look at that.
Very cool dude, yeah.
And she's on Once Upon a Time every now and then. I love Rose McGowan. Not so much right now. Rose McGowan has now claimed that gay men are more misogynistic than straight men and said she was, quote, really upset that the gay community wasn't campaigning harder for women's rights. The actress recently sounded off during a conversation with gay author Bret Easton Ellis, who, by the way, I hate. He wrote American Psycho. It's mm-hmm. one of the only books that I started in my life. So I have a little bit of OCD. Not sure if you've noticed living with me. Mm-hmm. And so when I start a book, I have to finish it. Mm-hmm. It's one of the only books in my life that I started and couldn't finish.
Why didn't you finish it?
Hated American Psycho. Hated it. Because, my gosh, how hilarious is it that she's talking to Bret Easton Ellis about gay men being misogynistic when, well, I guess maybe it's not ironic, American Psycho is perhaps the most misogynistic text ever written.
Really?
I hate it.
I have never read it. I'm oh. very unfamiliar.
Oh, he kills all the women. It's terrible. Wow. It's okay. terrible. So in Brett's weekly podcast, I didn't even know he had a weekly podcast. This is what they were talking about. So this is what she said, quote, gay men are as misogynistic as straight men, if not more so. I have an indictment of the gay community right now. I am really upset with them. She said, quote, you want to talk about the fact that I've heard nobody in the gay community, no gay males standing up for women on any level. I mean, that's a little ridiculous. She continued lashing out at the gay community, saying, quote, there is Sharia law active in Saudi Arabia. There's a woman who's about to be stoned. I have not heard AIDS activist Cleve Jones discuss her, and nor will he. So random. She kept going. I think it's what happens to you as a group when you are starting to get most of what you fought for. What do you do now? What I would hope they would do is extend a hand to women. Women, by and large, have very much helped the gay community get to where they are today. And I've not seen a single peep from these people who supposedly represent lesbians as well. When the Equal Pay Act was shut down by Republicans in the Senate, not a single man mentioned that. I see now people who have basically fought for the right to stand on top of a float wearing an orange Speedo and take MDMA, to take Molly. I mean, she said gay misogyny is a huge problem.
Here's the thing. I have a huge problem with broad sweeping
ridiculous
statements where she says that men are misogynistic. That implies that they all are. They're not. Or that the gay community is misogynistic. That's implying that they all are, and they're not. What is with the sweeping comments? That's just bizarre.
And by the way, let's repeat this part. I see now people who have basically fought for the right to stand up on top of a float wearing an orange Speedo and taking drugs.
Yeah, how is that relevant to her argument?
Where is how she, is where that is not a horrible that? Statement?
It's a horrible statement with no merit whatsoever.
So, just to prove her wrong, Becca, I support you and all your rights.
And I support you and all of your rights.
See? We could coexist.
We are united.
I feel like we are the representatives of Fir Avenue
boom.
Equality.
Yeah. Boom. Boom. The big boom in the house recently has been the roar of the Vitamix rolling
yes.
through this house.
So the gayest story in all the land is that Becca and I now own a Vitamix.
It's so exciting.
If you guys have any recipes that you want to send us that are very gay, and by that I mean they will be because we'll be making things in the Vitamix, please send them to us. Ken@thisshowissogay.com or Becca@thisshowissogay.com because that address still works and it still goes to me. That's really a real address. You could give that out to people and it totally works. It totally works. So if you have any Vitamix recipes, we want them. So if you hear the whir of equality, that is the whir of the Vitamix.
Not getting endorsement money for that whatsoever. We just want recipes.
They're here in Cleveland, so that's very exciting.
It is cool.
Is there a Vitamix there where you work?
No. Oh, my gosh. I wish. No way.
Becca's going to be making her own gay butter. We made
all
a gay melon
time.
Soup. Everything is gay. It's all gay and everything is great. And that brings us to a close of one of the most bizarre episodes that we've done. But you guys won't know why because you're going to hear the edited version.
It's
so
been
deal
fun.
With it. It's been fun. So our huge thanks to Matt Crabtree. So sorry that he lost the first game, Ken or Crabtree, but thrilled that he won the second game. So we'll be getting magnets out to him. Strolling over to mattcrabtree.com. And if you are in the Los Angeles area or anywhere near there, go check him out in the Santa Land Diaries. It is supposed to be so funny, and Matt is hilarious. So go support Matt. Go support local theater no matter where you are, because there are folks doing amazing things. Theater is not just the crazy, expensive Broadway experience. There are folks who are using their voice in your local theaters. Go see them. We have amazing guests for you coming up next week, and actually in the next few weeks. So a lot of exciting things happening. So you guys get out there, go do whatever it is that you do to use your voice the best way you know how to use it. I don't know what it is, whether it's baking a cake, whether it's hosting a podcast, whether it's starring in the Santa Land Diaries. Do whatever it is that you do to use your voice to make a difference for your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. And while you're out there making a difference, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
On the 4th of November, a warm southern breeze pushed the temperature up above 60 degrees. And the leaves red and gold drifted down from the trees and saw history as they fell. For we left home our overcoats, left home our gloves, headed down to the park for some peace, hope, and love. While the news helicopters all circled above, it was the night we won the war. By the tens of the thousands, we poured through the gates, stood elbow to elbow to wait out the wait, put our kids on our shoulders and kept them up late. And what a story they'd have to tell. And we cheered as the Jumbotron tracked our success from Virginia to Michigan, east to the west. And when Ohio came in, our hearts burst in our chests on the night we won the war. And oh, California, you know, we were all of us counting on you. And oh, we were all pulling for you. And then you came through, reliably blue. Shout that rose to the skies, and we all hugged the strangers that stood at our sides. And even Chicago cops wiped the tears from their eyes on the night we won the war.
Stars in the sky.